him.
Dad, someone here.
What?
Oh my God, they got Amanda.
If you don't have the badge, the next part is very important. They're going to take you. If you're looking for a ransom, I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Good luck.
Take it. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast. I'm Belasco, one of the people at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. Come and join us there at the website and the forums. And with me is Booze,
Cracker Jack Time and Wang,
and also Dr. P.
Pain don't hurt.
And tonight we're doing another movie club podcast. We're going back to the movie club.
Everyone loves them.
Oh, yes.
Fan favorites.
It's a fan favorite. We're taking on the Liam Neeson vehicle, Taken. If you haven't seen Taken, we're going to give you spoilers. And if you have seen Taken, I'm going to go ahead and give the quick synopsis for the movie. When his estranged teenage daughter is kidnapped in Paris, a former spy sets out to find her at any cost. Relying on his special skills, he tracks down the ruthless gang that abducted her and launches a one-man war to bring them to justice and rescue his daughter.
And one-man war it was.
Yes, it was.
And he didn't really so much bring them to justice as just kill them.
Yeah.
For a short movie, it really took a while to get to the action. Dude. 25 minutes easily just telling how much he loves his daughter.
It established in the first minute how much he loved his daughter.
Yeah, it did.
Because he's having a dream while he's holding a picture of her.
Well, some of that first stuff about, you know, how much he did love his daughter, and you're just looking at his face, and he's obviously being told, you know, Liam, you love your daughter, and you're thinking about her, and action. It's almost like you've seen Dark Man, right?
Yep.
You know, the over-the-top acting in that.
Oh,
that he does,
yes.
Which is, you know, supposed to be. That was the style of it. Sam Raimi, he knows what he's doing.
Certainly.
But this ain't supposed to be like that. But that's what it reminded me of.
And we get to see him. Her birthday's coming up. She's turning 17.
I could buy it.
She could have got away with being 17 if she weren't trying so hard to act like she's 17. And I'm sure we'll come on to the running and the gawkiness and all that shit in a minute.
I really like the scene where Liam Neeson goes to buy his daughter a birthday gift.
Yeah.
We're really going to establish that she really wants to be a singer. So he goes into an electronics store and buys a karaoke machine from the worst Arab ever. Yeah,
no, it's exactly. A
zombie.
Come on, don't be racist. You've been watching too much Taken. The guy's a Sikh. He's got a turban on.
Yep.
He's got the whole thing. And
what the fuck's a Sikh?
The most stereotypical Sikh you've ever seen.
Mr. Mills, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very fine. I suppose you want to see the game?
If you don't mind.
You know where it is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I charged you a dollar for every time you came in to examine the machine, you'd probably own it. You know, it's the one all the pros use. Mariah Carey, Beyoncé, Gwen Stefani.
Really? Where's Beyoncé? Just kidding. I'll take it.
Now, that shop, what year was that shop set in?
That shop was set... I was going to say 87,
late 90s.
You're about right.
Because all the electrical equipment in there, all the hi-fis and shit, it was all silver. You know, but the silver plastic ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that, and do they still sell them?
You don't see it as much. Most of it's black now, of course, but.
Yeah. So he bought her a karaoke machine from 97.
A 1997 model karaoke machine.
It was a good year for karaoke machines, so.
Apparently so, because he had done his research and asked. They say it's the best. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
Liam. But he'd been in to look at it many, many times.
Many times. He came in to look at it again.
Like Charlie Bucket going into the Candyman's chocolate shop. So what is that supposed to denote? That he's poor?
I don't think it's... No, I think it's supposed to denote that he's thorough and he pays attention to detail.
Right.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get on the internet and do a search for the best one and check out the review sites.
He was just quite internet savvy.
Geezer with a turban.
And he ventures off to his daughter's birthday party, where she's celebrating her 17th birthday with her mom and her stepfather, at which point her mother, played by...
Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen, who I love. She does it for me. But my God, was she a bitch in this.
Yeah.
You know, because he wants to personally give the gift to his daughter. Oh, God forbid.
You can put it on the table with the others.
I just wanted to give Kim her present.
Oh, you're letting the kids have their own space. You could put it right there with the others.
I want to give it to her myself.
Still having trouble following the rules, I see.
Oh, come on, Lenny.
I've asked you not to call me that.
Excuse me, Lenore. Oh, my darling. Hello, my sweet. Happy birthday.
I was just telling your father how we arranged the presents.
Here.
Sweetie, I think it's bad manners to open one and not the other.
Yeah, God forbid. No, you always did have trouble following the rules.
Yeah, but the thing is, all he was supposed to have, you know, done to her, he's not been there.
Right.
Because he works for the government, you know.
CIA,
Getting America out of shit all around the world. But somehow still making it back for every single birthday his daughter has. Yeah. So why is she being such an horrible cow to him?
Because he was never there for her. He was devoting his life to his country, not his daughter.
What a bastard.
Well, no, I think he was giving his life for his country, then his daughter, then her. I think that's what she was
okay.
I don't think she liked being third in the list, because it's obvious, since he was hugging her framed picture, that he does love his daughter.
He loves her very much.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So he finally gets her attention. She opens the present, and she's all real happy, and she loves him, and, oh, thank you, Dad. And all of a sudden, the stepdad steps in and totally shits on the karaoke machine.
Yeah, now what could he have got? What would be better than a karaoke, a Blu-ray DVD player?
Maybe that.
A laptop, maybe?
Maybe a laptop. Maybe even, you know, maybe he iPad. Even got her like a MacBook Air or something, or an iPad, something like that. No, he even goes beyond this.
A pony!
He gets her a fucking pony.
Yep.
And that girl,
she loved it.
Is so
well, she's always wanted.
Yep. She's so distracted by the pony, she just tosses the karaoke machine aside and starts running like a retard over to the pony.
Yeah, with her arms strapped down by her sides when she runs.
right at the elbows. Right at the elbows. From the elbows to the wrists, those get to swing freely while she runs. Yeah.
They don't get in her way while she's running. Fucking hell. She'll knock you out. God knows what she's going to be like on that horse.
Oh, my God.
She's an awkward 17-year-old. Give her a break.
They might as well have just brought the pony right by, set his wrapped karaoke machine on the ground, and just let the pony just take a giant shit on it. Because that's exactly what they were doing.
Pretty much. But dude, his present sucked. I mean,
yeah, it was shit. Yeah.
What little girl with that rich of a stepdad, you're not going to get by with something electronic. You're just not going to compete there. She's going to have everything.
So, he feels a little dejected because the stepdad just fucked the karaoke machine in the ass with a big pony dick. And so he goes home and we learn that he's the world's only scrapbooking spy. Yeah. He's putting in his memories from the birthday party into his scrapbook.
Oh, and what about that shitty camera, a little disposable he pulled out?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is what I mean. It's almost like a period film from 98 or something.
There's a knock at his door, and it's his friends. He's like, oh, I completely forgot. At which point, they give the entire audience what I like to call an orgy of exposition.
It was an exposition barbecue party.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It was.
And also, it was very noticeable that this was probably the first time that these actors ever met. You know, there seems to be no rehearsal because those blokes, or at least two of them, are very decent actors.
One of those guys was a guy I think I actually met right around the time he had just finished doing this movie. And that was John Grice, who played Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite.
Wasn't he in like Joysticks or something like that?
Yes, that's what they did. They did a special screening of Napoleon Dynamite, followed up with a screening of Joysticks from a special 35mm print of Joysticks.
Fascinating.
Nice. I want this to be a regular part. You're the new Bob Bryan. That's awesome.
That's a nerd alert. All right, carry on.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, dude.
Yeah, and what's his name? That. The panicky fella.
Yeah, Leland Orser played probably the friend that got the most screen time.
Yeah, he was the one who could act the best, I guess.
He was one
that... he seems to be about 5 foot tall.
Hey, look, all kidding aside, we think what you're doing is a great thing, trying to make up for lost time with Kimmy. But tomorrow's job, right here, 4 hours work, $2,500 just for taking some pop diva to and from her concert. We're one short.
A singer?
Well, I don't know if you call her a singer exactly, more like a cash cow. 20 million records this girl sold already, and she's not even 25. Job's a piece of cake, Bri. All we gotta do is get her there and take her back. Inside the hall, they got their own people.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, it'll be perfect, just like old times.
Better. No one gets killed.
He decides, okay, yeah, I'll take on this this job. And, you know, he asks on behalf, because he loves his daughter so much, he asks on behalf of his daughter.
But he just busts straight in on that. It's like, la, 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 Miss Shearer.
Excuse me, miss. I know this isn't the right time, but I have a daughter who wants to be a singer. I was wondering if you had any tips for her.
Yeah, I do. Tell her to pick another career.
You know, have you got any advice for me daughter? She's like, who are you? Well, fucking, you know, it's very unprofessional, isn't it?
I guess it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
He loves his daughter. He'll do anything for her.
She's just about to go on stage.
Yeah.
And he goes, have you got any advice for me daughter?
Oh, quick question.
Yeah. I know this is the wrong time, but it's that kind of film. So please tell me. Yeah.
Boy, is she rude about it.
It's like, well.
But she'll change her tune.
Oh, oh yeah. Yes, she will. So we fast forward to the end of the concert. She's coming off stage, and they're removing her from the... from the stage area and taking her to the backstage area, and all of a sudden somebody leaves a gate open.
Oh dear.
And the panicky guy says, hey, who left that gate open? And as Liam Neeson is trying to rush her back to her dressing room, there's an anonymous guy there with a knife.
Yeah, we cut to that knife. We it's like a music cue, ding, and we see the knife. And that was really just like something out of Murder, She Wrote.
We have no idea who it was, why they were there, what the hell they had against this singer. Liam Neeson catches a fleeting glimpse of a blade and beats this motherfucker to a pulp.
He was on it.
He was on this asshole.
He didn't mess about, no.
No, he didn't.
You see why they said he was one of the best?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You really get to see why he was one of the best at that moment. You're just like, wow, he dispatched him. And
he's awesome.
Didn't even give it a second thought.
No, he's fantastic in that situation. Unless his daughter rings up just as he's about to take out a knife, man. And then, you know, he's got to take that call.
First number is Gio, my vocal coach. If he says she can sing, she can sing. He'll give her the coaching she needs, and the fee is on me. The second number is my manager. If Gio clears her, he'll make sure she gets a shot.
Thank you.
No, Mr. Mills. Thank you.
Did you notice, you know when they, like, he bundles her into the limo and they're driving away?
Yeah.
And he goes, right, you got to have a drink of this. You know, what's he going to pull out, some brandy? You know, from a barrel around his neck. No, kind of Orangina.
Like a saint. Yeah, it was Orangina.
Now, I don't know about over there, but Orangina is basically the first time I ever had that was in France. And it's not that widespread
or something?
No, it's more like it's more like a sun-kissed soda.
Yeah, it's like an orange aid.
Yeah.
You know.
Black people drink.
No, French people drink.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So what, you know, what is that? Is that product placement or is that
could
an in-joke maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
She made it very plain as day. Orangina. Or as I like to call it, Orangina.
Mmm. Yeah.
Mmm.
Yeah. The orange with a pussy.
I've had that song in my head a bit.
See episode 19 for more on that one. Because his daughter calls him and says, hey, Dad, let's have lunch tomorrow. Well,
oh, the dream come true.
Yeah, Liam is thrilled. He's
couldn't
like,
believe his luck.
Yeah, it's like, all right, my daughter wants to have lunch with me.
Might be able to get another picture of her for the scrapbook.
Yeah.
I'll keep the receipt. I'll put that in there as well.
I might use a pinhole camera this time. And so he shows up at the lunch date, and oh, there's the bitchy ex-wife.
Yeah.
Don't look so excited.
I was just surprised. I thought it was just going to be Kim and I.
Oh, I asked Mom to come. So, Dad, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You know my friend Amanda?
Yep.
Her cousins asked us to spend vacation with them in Paris. How cool is that?
And because you're under 18, you need my permission to leave the country.
Dad, please. I really, really want to go. And they've got this, like, sick apartment overlooking the river.
Just you and Amanda.
And her cousins.
Don't make a big deal out of this, Brian. Just sign the paper. What?
I'm not comfortable with this.
Dad.
I know the world, sweetie.
Dad, please.
I don't think a 17-year-old should be traveling alone.
I'm not going to be alone.
Two 17-year-olds.
Amanda's 19.
How about this? How about if I go along? You won't even know I'm there. I'm very good at being invisible.
As you so amply demonstrated for most of her life. Just sign the paper, Brian.
I'll think about it.
Oh, Beirut, yeah. I've been to, Iraq, Afghanistan. Paris is like fourth on that list. Crazy, dangerous places to go. What are you even thinking of?
And the smell?
Yeah. And the crepes.
Yeah.
My God, the crepes.
Yeah. Of course, they storm out. Great lunch date. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, this is
He says, and there's one more thing.
If
he's
going to
tell
her
about the...
Yeah. Yeah, go on.
She shoots him down.
Yeah, she won't
says,
have any of it.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah, you know that virgin
else.
Love. Yeah. But no, she don't want to know because he's spoiled her a whole fucking life. And now she's getting even more spoiled by, you know, the 24 nuclear radiation death bots. In fact, Jansen.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't want my ice cream sundae with the cherries on top. I don't want singing lessons off of Holly Valance.
Right.
Go and stuff your fucking love up your ass.
I want to go to Paris.
Yeah, fuck you, Dad. No, I'm not.
And she'll never know what the world's like if you don't let her see it. You're going to lose your daughter.
So he goes home and he's just like, my daughter hates me. And even though I got her the karaoke machine, she doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And he's sitting there thinking, he's like, well, if she's going to go, this is what she has to do. So he comes up with conditions for her.
Three conditions. I want the address and phone number of where you're staying.
Okay.
If you move, I want to know where and with whom you'll be staying.
Okay.
You call me when you land. You call me every night before you go to sleep.
Okay.
It's international. My number's programmed in.
Okay, awesome.
You mean you're not focused?
Yes, I am.
What did I say?
You said that to call you when I land and every night before I go to sleep, and your phone's international. The number's programmed in.
Okay. One last thing. I get to take you to the airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Comes up with conditions for that she can go. Liam Neeson finds out later that she's basically going to bounce all over Europe.
Lenore, do you know about this? She's not just going to Paris.
I know.
She lied to me.
Yes, because she can't be honest with you.
Why? What are you talking about?
Your rules and conditions.
What is this?
It's U2's European tour dates.
She's following a rock band around Europe.
All the kids do. Stuart got her the tickets. We've arranged for her to stay in the best hotels.
Best hotels?
Following you too.
And he asked Famke about it. She's going to follow you too around Europe. All the kids do it. You think, well, not since 1984. All the kids don't do that. That's fucking... Jesus Christ.
It's not the fucking Joshua Tree again.
That's the most far-fetched thing in this whole film.
Yeah. You may go see U2 if they're appearing anywhere within 20 miles of you, but you're not going to follow them all over Europe like they're goddamn fish.
I wouldn't go see them if they were playing in my backyard.
No.
Well, exactly. I'd draw the line to put my iPod on.
Certainly not if you were 17. It'd be like, what, there's some 50-year-old men in my garden.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, thank goodness he gave her an international phone with his number plugged in.
Notice he gave her no charger.
Yeah, no chargers.
That was the first thing I thought. That he gets maybe 3 hours out of this thing. What?
Exactly.
Fortunately, he didn't need it for any longer than that, but he didn't know that.
She flies to Paris and with her friend, and the dumbest bitches ever, they get off the plane and get in the cab with a strange frog.
It's actually my cousin's, but they're in Madrid for the summer, so we have the whole place to ourselves. How cool is that? I didn't know that. It's Stewie.
Farewell, I have to be going. Nice to meet you.
Oh, okay.
You too.
Bye.
Hey, there is a party tonight at school. Want to come?
Sure, yeah.
Amanda, we don't even know him.
What is there to know? He's hot.
I come pick you up around 9.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, great. Your apartment?
It's the whole 5th floor, Hoffman.
Okay, see you tonight.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You know,
you can tell he's part of a kidnapping ring.
He's up to no good. Up. He knows what floor they're on. He knows he asks and he makes sure that they're going to be alone because they do absolutely everything wrong. They're the dumbest fuckers ever.
Now, when Liam was driving his daughter to the airport, he's going, right, there's some places in Paris you don't want to go. I've written them all down here.
Yeah.
Right, got everything sorted. This is what I do. I prepare for everything. You don't tell them there might be what they call a spotter, which seems to be a known thing at the airport, picking up innocent young girls on their own.
Yeah.
He doesn't mention that. I think she could have looked out for it and said, no, we're all right.
Yeah, we're all right. And her friend says, hey, by the way, French guys are supposed to be amazing in bed.
Yeah, she that's says, the justification
for sharing a cab with the guy.
That's where you can tell this was directed by a Frenchman.
He wasn't that charming or handsome, or I really wasn't sure why he got cast as the one, you know, to wow their socks off.
Well, they weren't going to cast Gerard Depardieu.
He had me at Bonjour.
I just wish you would have told me they weren't going to be here.
What's the difference?
I told my dad they were going
to
be here.
You told your dad you were going to museums, too.
Oh, come on. He's not going to know.
I'm going to sleep with him.
Who?
Peter.
You just met him.
I hear French guys are amazing in bed. Maybe he has a friend, huh?
No, no.
Oh, come on. You got to lose it sometime. Might as well be in Paris.
The other girl puts the hives on to prove that there is, you know, she has listened to some music that was released after Joshua Tree.
Right.
Even if that was about 5 years ago.
So she finally gives him a call and lets Liam Neeson know, hey, I'm here, I'm in the apartment, everything is fine.
Does Liam know the layout of the place?
No.
Right. So, Blasco, tell us what happens next, and then tell us what's wrong with what happens next.
And she's looking across, seeing her friend dancing in the den, and all of a sudden... there's somebody there who wasn't supposed to be.
Someone here.
Her cousins are back?
Oh, my God, they got Amanda.
What?
What are you talking about? Kimmy, what's going on?
Kim. Dad, they took her.
All right, listen to me.
Oh, God.
Did you meet anyone
on the plane?
No.
In the airport?
No. Yes, Peter.
Peter? Peter who?
I don't know.
An American?
No.
Did he know where you were staying?
He took a cab with us. Dad, you're coming. I'm
know you are. Stay focused, Kimmy. You have to hold it together. How many people are there? Be precise.
3, 4, I don't know.
Where are you?
I'm in the bathroom.
Go to the next bedroom. Get under the bed.
Tell me when you're there.
Now, as far as what you're talking about is what's wrong with this scene.
Yeah.
Is Liam Neeson asking her, all right, go to the very next bedroom.
Yeah. Now, it's like he's watching it on satellite.
Right.
Map, you know.
He tells her that she's going to get caught.
Yeah, which is a great line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that really works, but it doesn't make any sense.
No.
They're going to take you.
Kim, stay focused, baby. This is key.
You will have 5, maybe 10 seconds. Very important seconds.
Leave the phone on the floor. Concentrate.
Shout out everything you see about them. Hair color.
Eye color, tall, short, scars.
Anything you see, you understand?
You know, it would make sense. They could have made it work if they'd have come into the room.
Yeah.
And, like, she goes, oh, Daddy, I can't talk now, but shut up. And he goes, right, listen to me very carefully. You're going to be taken. You know, that would still work. But no, it's when they're in the living room kidnapping the other girl and he don't go, right, what floor are you on? You know, is there a window there? Can you jump out? You know, can you run next door to the next door neighbors? What? None of that.
Right.
Just get under the bed.
You're where I told you to go, but you're still fucked, yeah.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Do you reckon there was a bit of him going, you know what? I'm not going to say it, but I did tell you so.
How unsympathetic would he have become if he had said, I told you so?
That would have been awesome.
One of the kidnappers, and apparently it's the lead kidnapper because apparently he doesn't do any of the dirty work. All the
Marco.
Marco. All the carrying bodies out is done by other people. He picks up the phone, and we get a big speech from Liam.
Oh, yeah. And that's good as well. I've got, you know, it works.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
This guy says, into a phone.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Right. Okay.
Cell phones on an international call do not sound as clear as what he received.
Fascinating.
We Sorry. See him flying to Paris, listening over and over again to this guy here saying, plain as day, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. That's not even the most ridiculous thing in this film.
It really isn't, no.
Surrounding the him just saying good luck.
Sam, what have you got?
They're speaking Albanian. Based on their accents
and dialects, they must be from a town called Trapoja.
Place is ground zero for scummers like this. Even the Russians give these guys a wide berth.
The one you spoke to, his name is Marco. And we have information that a mobster boss by the name of Marco Ocha
moved to Paris about 6 months ago. If he's the one, he's a big fish. And the tattoo, by the way, is group ID.
Their previous MO was to offer women
from the emerging East European countries like Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria, jobs in the West as maids and nannies.
Once they'd smuggle them in, they'd addict them to drugs
and turn them into prostitutes.
Lately, however, they've decided that it's more economical just to kidnap traveling
young women. Saves on transportation costs.
Not my little baby.
What else?
Based on what they know about the way these groups operate, our analyst says you have a 96-hour
window from the time she was grabbed.
To what?
To never finding her.
No! No! No!
At 96 hours, it didn't really go anywhere, so...
No.
It did have had a clock ticking down, maybe. Then he should turn to Famke Janssen and go, well, I hope you're happy.
Right. And he gets to Paris. He searches. First thing he does is searches the apartment like Batman. He's climbing out on ledges. He's it's just insane. You're just like, oh, come on.
And then he goes Sherlock, doesn't he? He's like, right, chair's knocked over there. Okay, this happened.
Yeah. Now, for some reason, Liam decides to let a former contact he has in Paris know that he's there and this is what he's doing.
His French contact, Kevin Spacey, this guy.
Yeah, it was the French Kevin Spacey.
Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude. And Liam Neeson lets him know, and Booze, I know this was your favorite line of the movie.
Oh, I love it so much.
Find a spotter.
I found him. He's dead.
You found him that way? Ryan, you cannot just run around tearing down Paris.
Jean-Claude, I will tear down the Eiffel Tower if I have to.
It's so terrible. It's almost as bad as, you know, you're going to have to be my brave little Marine. In Bat La Lie. And you can hear his ass clenching and going, do I really have to fucking say this? I'm Oscar Schindler, for fuck's sake. You know. Jesus Christ.
I was Rob Roy. Now, I was Michael Collins. Over the top.
It's ridiculous. How would that even help? That would hinder him, if anything.
It would.
Having to tear down. Well, I'd love to find my daughter, but I've taken on this quite a big job. To be honest with you now,
I'm going to tear down the Eiffel Tower.
I'm regretting it. I'm regretting agreeing to it. But yeah, I have to dismantle the Eiffel Tower. I brought on a huge team of contractors to do it. And it's going to take the best part of 6 months, really.
Yeah.
And who would he be punishing as well? I mean, how would that, you know?
It's a euphemism for he'll destroy anything in his path to save his daughter. He loves
her.
Yeah,
what's next? The Sacré-Cœur. Notre Dame Cathedral, you know.
I'll blow up the Louvre.
Yeah.
He would do any of that.
Fucking, you better
save his daughter. He loves her.
Put a huge dust sheet over the Centre Pompidou. Because watch out, I'm coming. I will block up the
Y'all are getting mad
tunnel.
About this. You knew he loved his daughter.
I'm going to block up the Channel Tunnel, but only the French half. And then until I get my daughter back.
He loves his daughter so much so that when his contact there in Paris doesn't give him help, he decides to go and try to get information from the hookers there in Paris. They mention something about a construction site where there is merchandise.
All he needed.
And it was like a quarry. It was like, right, we've hired out this quarry for 2 days shooting.
Yeah.
So let's have a car chase on it.
Right. We'll have a car chase on it. Turns out that this construction site, the trailer is a whorehouse where these Albanians have strung out their kidnapped victims on heroin and just invite people to come in and fuck them.
Mm. Well, and the Albanians are to be feared, too. They say over and over, they're scary people, and even the Russians give them a wide berth.
Yeah.
Well, I don't doubt that they are in real life.
Sure.
But, these are some real stereotypical comedy Albanians almost.
He tracks down this construction site where there is, quote, merchandise, and finds out it's a whorehouse for people they've kidnapped, and he starts going through the whorehouse. He gets in the queue.
Yeah.
He gets to the queue and starts going through the whorehouse, and as he's going through, pulling the curtains back, checking out the whores, he sees one that has his daughter's blue jean jacket.
Where did you get this? Where did you get this?
I'm good.
Who gave this to you? Who gave this to you?
I'm good.
Oh.
Wow, this how can
he's found it. That's the end of the film. It's done. It's all it. Well done.
He found a whore
on the construction site.
She was just a girl who they caught and drugged up. She wasn't a whore. She was just like his daughter or anybody else.
Oh, they're all whores. Now, he finds some whore that has his daughter's blue jean jacket, and he takes
her. Gay denim jacket, bedazzled.
Oh, yeah, the bedazzling. Yeah.
What did it even say? Does anyone know what it says on the back?
I couldn't make it out.
Nah,
you
I didn't
too.
Really try to.
Oh,
Adam Clayton forever. What was on there?
And so he decides, well, shit, I'm going to have to take her with me. So he picks her up, carries, fights his way out, steals an SUV, and they go and the Albanians chase him. There's a big car chase.
Okay, I'm going to go back just a second.
Okay.
When he grabs the drugged up hooker and everything, the guard busts in and he kills him. And he takes his gun, which is a two-tone Beretta 92FS, which I...
What was that, Pay? Sorry?
A two-tone Beretta 92. That was late, dude. Okay, of course you will.
It's better if you leave it. I have to liven up the iPad first. Unlock it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, takes his sweet Beretta two-tone 92FS and takes off in a Bronco and finds some convenient gasoline barrels to slide into.
Well, was it a Bronco or was it a Jeep Cherokee?
Go back.
He was in a Jeep Cherokee. They were in Bronco.
I need to go back here because you're going to say that it's unbelievable that there would be a barrel that was on fire that people were warming their hands by right next to the 20 barrels of kerosene, right?
Yeah.
And yes, that does contravene several, European Union health and safety directives. But even more unbelievable is that you would find any kind of SUV or anything like that in Paris. Because I've been there, and the biggest car they've got is like a Fiat 500.
And so they chased him and his Jeep Cherokee with about a dozen Scout Internationals. Now, also, he has a... Beretta 92, which holds 15 rounds. They have full auto MP5s, and he manages not to get shot by the thousands of rounds, but he wrecks each of their cars one by one.
Including steamrolling one down a hill.
Yeah, he rode it like a surfboard. He literally rode the damn thing like a surfboard. Man, did they ever kidnap the wrong man's daughter? The fight and chase scenes, as over the top as they were, I mean, they were a lot like the recent James Bond flicks.
Yeah, or Bourne. They're kind of functional and...
To some degree, but...
Not going for realism at all, just fun to watch.
But it really pushes the limits of credibility when he finally gets the kidnapped whore back to the hotel room, and apparently you find out he's a doctor, too.
Yeah, where did all that come supplies. From? Where did
the CIA training?
Saline. Physically have a saline drip? You know, where did this come from? He always travels with
it. Bag. Okay. Yeah. You know what? If I'm ever in a hotel room and I need to hang up a saline drip, I'm going to bend the coat hanger the same way he did. Okay. I noticed that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's not the thing, is it? It's not like
Not the thing. The fact is that he had the saline drip bag at all.
Yeah, and also, if you're going to take all that, right, then you go, you know what? Oh, fucking hell, what have I forgot? I forgot the hook to hang the saline drip up. Oh, shit, what is there in a hotel room? Oh, no, I've been the coat hanger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, it's the fact that he had this massive first aid kit that could save someone from a coma.
Anything.
Syringes and medicine and just like, what the?
He brought it, dude. He's always prepared. He always has everything he needs.
Well, he must have bought it. Because at this point, he's getting no help from Jean-Claude.
What about my daughter?
I told you I sit behind a desk now.
I take my orders from someone who sits behind a bigger desk.
Come on, 7 dead bodies, 3 in hospital, a building destroyed.
Total chaos at the airport.
He wanted your ass in chains. It's the best I could do, I'm sorry.
Sorry doesn't cut it anymore, Jean-Claude.
Well, we're going to have to watch the extended, harder version.
We may have to.
I'd do it. I'd watch a longer cut of this. It was not painful. Well, once they got in Paris, it was fun to watch. I mean,
I think a lot of the pain does come from the fact that it's so stripped back. Taken is not a good film, but it's short. When he was talking to the Albanians, pretending to be French, I guess he must have been. But speaking in English,
yep,
that was when he got most American.
Because he rescues the the anonymous whore from the construction site.
She was just a kid. She was
can we call her an unfortunate young lady?
Young lady.
Instead, yeah.
Please.
Okay. All right. I'll give
How
you.
How dare you?
So, okay, he rescues the unfortunate young lady who was probably just as stupid as Liam Neeson's daughter and got kidnapped.
Wanted to go see you, too.
Yeah. And
2009.
He finds out after she kind of, you know, gets to feeling better because, you know, he's a fucking trauma doctor. she tells him she remembers the Rue de Paris. Or Paradis, is what she calls it, the Paradis. Yeah. The Rue de Paradis. And a red door. She remembers that. Oh, thank God. Because
that was helpful.
He finds the Rue de Paris, and he finds these big red double doors. Wow.
Yep.
There they are.
It's amazing. Well done.
Yeah. He goes in, and he fucks up one of the security guards, pretending to be a French police officer.
Yeah.
On the take.
Good morning.
I help you?
I'm here to see your boss.
No boss.
I push one button and 30 agents will be here before you have time to scratch your worthless balls. Now stop jerking around before I close you down for wasting my time.
Now, this didn't... Didn't he give him Jean-Claude's card?
Yes.
Yeah, now, his picture of it.
This whole film, I mean, later on, we get Holly Valance as Shearer. It's already happened. She gives him her card.
Yeah.
As if, you know, do you think Madonna carries cards around?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out the subtext of the of basically the business cards, and I just can't follow it.
Well,
it's just too complicated
for
me.
Yeah, it's almost like a Victorian novel. It's like, sir, my card. Yes. But, yeah, so he gives him, he says, I'm Jean-Claude, whatever his fucking name is, Jean-Claude Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to extort money from you.
Yeah,
but he's
like
not
corrupt.
Yeah, but he's not making any attempt because we've already seen in the film when people speak French, it's subtitled. Right?
Right.
So he's not speaking French.
Nope.
He's speaking English to some Albanians.
Yep.
But he goes upstairs and then he carries on speaking English.
What is it you want?
I'm here to negotiate the rates.
We already negotiated the rate with Mr. McCann.
Mr. McCann has moved to another division. I'm here for the renegotiation.
He's got a very distinctive accent, Liam Neeson. It's not, it's neither here nor there, but you'd recognise it. So anyway, it's his silver tongue that gets him sorted out. Yeah.
His silver, no French accent speaking tongue.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Why would... So, if you're an Albanian and you're living in Paris, all right, you might not be completely conversant in the French language, but you'd know an American accent, I'm pretty certain.
And you definitely know English.
Well, they're speaking it.
Yeah.
So you'd know an American accent. So that's weird. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And it's like they don't even bother to try to make it make sense.
He looks at the one guy that hasn't said much throughout his entire interaction with the Albanian bosses and says,
"Boss, a friend gave this to me. It's Albanian. You mind translating it?"
Good luck. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Now, if you're Marco, right, you're living in Paris, you probably, you know, on a day-to-day basis, not hearing many people talk English, especially if you're just running a brothel with your Albanian mates.
Right.
Right? So when someone comes in who has 2 days before told you on the phone, "I will find you," you'd remember it, right?
Of course.
You go, "Fucking hell, that sounds a bit... that sounds familiar," and especially the fact that he sounds like an Irishman with a slightly tiny, tiny American twang.
Hey, he sounds like the guy in Schindler's List.
Yeah.
So, Liam Neeson reveals himself. "You don't remember me, do you?"
That's quite a good impression.
"You don't remember me. We spoke on the phone 2 days ago."
I told you I would find you.
He has to kick ass, basically. Yeah. And unfortunately, listening to someone kick ass on a podcast is not that interesting. So we're going to skip ahead.
Well, the kicking ass bits are quite good.
Yeah, they are. The action is excellent. I have to say, I really enjoyed the action.
Well, apparently this guy, he was the, you know, cinematographer on Transporter. And that is, I mean, this is, if Jason Statham was the lead in Taken, it would make a lot more sense.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it would. I think that's the level we're looking at. We're looking at Crank. We're looking at Transporter. I really do. And I'm not knocking those films because a lot of people love them. But then you know what you're getting. When Liam Neeson walks onto a, you know, into a film,
right?
Up until this, probably, you thought, oh, Liam Neeson, he lends a slight bit of gravitas. But, you know, fine. But don't pretend to have a story. Don't pretend to be, you know, have any morals or be about anything.
Right.
Just show people getting fucked up.
Liam Neeson discovers Marco, the guy that said good luck when he kidnapped his daughter.
Yeah.
And basically takes him back to a safe place, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
With electricity.
It's downstairs, though, isn't it? Don't he just go downstairs in the...
It's like in a sewer, almost.
He's killed it. It's not really made, you know, clear where he is, but I thought it's in the same building.
Marco wakes up taped to a chair, and there's electric wires all over him. It was really a beautiful thing, and he asks where his daughter is.
No, he whacks what did he have?
He had nails. He had gigantic, probably about
fuck off nails, yeah.
10-inch nails.
Can we say 9-inch for sake of argument?
Yeah, he takes these nails, and he basically just... While Marco's strapped to a chair, drives them into his thighs just above the knees, attached to the circuit of this basement where the light switch is attached. So he starts, you know, grilling him about where's my daughter, where's my daughter, and flipping the switch.
Well, wait, Marco spits in his face.
Yeah, Marco spits in his face first.
He asks, where's my daughter? Poof.
Marco tried to hold out.
Then he flips.
Marco was a silly Billy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be focused. Are you focused yet? Where is this girl? Where is she?
Marco is a dumbass motherfucker because he's basically just asking for punishment.
Where is she? Well, I don't have any more time to waste. Marco from Tropoya. You either give me what I need or this switch will stay on until they turn the power off for lack of payment on the bill.
Spits in his face again.
Spit in my face once. Shame on me. Spit in my face twice. I'll bury these nails in your legs and electrocute you.
The nails were already there, so he electrocutes him a second time.
Longer.
Longer. And I think he actually has it attached to a potentiometer, which can control, you know, the intensity.
Sorry, what?
A potentiometer. That dial he was adjusting.
Nerdlet!
Fascinating.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Jesus. So Marco tells him everything he needs to know about where to find his daughter, where she is, what to do, anything he needs to know. At which point Liam Neeson cranks the potentiometer up to 10, flips a switch, and walks out.
Leaves him screaming and shocking.
Which you kind of like.
Yeah.
You know, you have to say the guy loves his daughter.
Here's the point where I have to say that a lot of what I checked out online seemed to think that this was some kind of allegory for, and I'm not just saying American, say British as well, foreign policy, you know, when it comes to the war on terror.
Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried every single film we've watched. I've tried to, you know, make them all some kind of allegory and make it stick. I think the nearest I got was calling, what was when we watched Justin to Kelly?
Oh, God.
What was her friend's name? The blonde girl?
It's Alexa, yes. Yep.
No, I didn't know it. Did not know it. And that was the closest I got because Kelly was obviously Jesus. Obviously. I said it at the time. I don't know why you're laughing. As if you never heard it before. It might not have made the podcast.
I'm just
Kelly
out of my mind, man.
Well, Kelly was Jesus and Alexa was Judas.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, and that holds together apart from at the end. I couldn't make it stick. So Alexa was forgiven and Judas wasn't, obviously.
Mm.
But this does hold together.
No, Alexa got them back together.
Yeah, but she didn't get anyone herself. So maybe that is the equivalent of hanging herself.
Yeah. She was alone.
Maybe, all right, maybe that hangs together, but not as good as calling Taken an allegory on American foreign policy. But yeah, I think this does hold up. I mean, you've got Liam Neeson, who is America, right? And he says, look,
definitely,
there's some bad people out there. And everyone goes, oh, fuck off, Liam. You're being paranoid, right? And he goes, no, honestly, there are. And you will see. You will fucking see. And then all of a sudden, his daughter gets kidnapped. You know,
it's like a 9/11 for him,
aka 9/11 or 11/9, as we call it over here.
Yeah,
I think Liam Neeson is America. His daughter is the American public, the American citizens. And you know, the foreigners are obviously the foreigners.
I think that's fair.
Albanian terrorists.
Absolutely.
Bend a few rules to
the French collaborators.
Well, they build up, don't they? Because you get the French, then you get the Albanians, and then you get, well, very clearly Arabs at the end. This film.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And in the end, Liam is proved right.
Yep.
And, yeah, and sometimes you've got to do bad things to protect your people or your daughter or, you know, America. And England.
Now, Liam Neeson figures out from Marco after he leaves him to just absorb some electricity.
No,
so
don't.
He finds out that there is somebody who is hosting an auction for these girls, for high rollers.
The ridiculous thing is that it's this fella who's in the police force, right? He's quite high up.
Yeah.
He's having a party, right? For all these dignitaries and everything like that. But in the back of it, he's having an auction where he auctions off these kidnapped drug whores.
Yep. And yeah. You know,
in house.
Liam Neeson's daughter is certified pure.
But don't.
The last item. As usual, we save the best for last. Speaks English, some French. Certified pure. 100,000.
I said.
I heard what you said. Buy her.
I have 100.
Buy her.
150. 200. 250. 350. 350,000.
Look, if you're...
She was a virgin earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Yep, they established when she landed in Paris that she's a virgin. You gotta give it up sometime.
Yeah, give it up to a Frenchman.
Yeah.
And I also have to say, they only showed two girls. But, well, first we'll just say he did. He knocked out various people and put on their clothes until he was finally bringing champagne to a rich Arab guy that was dead.
Yes. He poses as a butler.
Well, here's the thing.
As a cop, knocked the butler out. Yeah,
but he doesn't talk, right?
He doesn't talk at all. And I got to tell you. He sets down the bottle of champagne posing as a butler and completely telegraphs, I am about to fuck you up, with the look on his face.
The bloke who's having a party has made a tremendous faux pas because, I don't know about you, but when I sell skag whores, I don't have it on the same night as my, you know, party for my friends.
No, that's two separate events.
Yeah, don't.
You don't want to mix and match those guests.
It's like that episode of Blackadder. I don't know if you've seen it, where he's coming into his inheritance, but he's accidentally invited everyone around for a boozy party. You know, you don't want to be trapped in that situation. You're going down in the secret lift every 5 seconds to make sure everything's going all right with the Arabs downstairs. Then you're upstairs, you know, looking after Sarkozy and Carla Bruni. You don't want to be doing that.
Oh, God. So, yeah, he sneaks into one of the rooms where they're bidding on girls. And all of a sudden, the last girl to show up. Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, please.
Pete, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you have paid for that first woman?
How much would I have in this?
If you were like a multi-millionaire, you see her coming up staggering around, right? They ended up paying $250,000. They didn't specify a currency, but I'm guessing it's euros. Now, you could have gone to the airport 3 days before and picked her up for nothing.
Yep.
So why is she worth €250,000?
Yep.
Did you see the thick ass on her, that first girl?
All right. Yeah, okay. I would have paid $500,000 for her, but...
$250,000.
No, I thought the price was really low.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? They very intentionally left out a monetary denomination.
Yeah.
It could have been pounds. Well, it could have been dollars. It could have been francs.
I'm just assuming, it's not going to be, you know, fucking pesos or something. It has no value. I'm going to assume it's somewhere.
30-cent pussy.
Yeah. It's somewhere in the realm of a dollar. I'm just going to say. And
it's probably more than that.
Yeah.
It must be euros, right?
Probably.
Really? Doesn't seem like that steep a price, does it? I mean, that's
it's ridiculous, yeah.
I have that much equity in my house. There are $500 a month payments I like making worse than I would that one. That's all.
It's not even that. I mean, you could go down the street. They could go down the street in Paris and pick up someone like that and get them hooked on drugs. And, you know, why would they be paying out this ridiculous amount of money? It's stupid.
Yeah.
Mm.
She was stout. She was thick. I thought she was way hotter than his daughter, who was the second one. Well, last one.
I'm with you.
Last
all the way.
One, right. But yeah. You have
the
to remember.
The auctioneer goes, and we've saved the best for last. And
she was purebred.
Yeah, her daughter was certified
female dingo.
Pure. And I'm wondering how they determined that. I mean, did they have a gynecologist on staff to check? I guess they did, because it's certified pure. Anyway, because she was certified pure, the bidding kept going and going and going until you realize that Liam Neeson's daughter has a $500,000 pussy.
Well, Liam Neeson tried to buy her 5 times.
Yeah, he made the guy keep bidding. That's why the price went up.
But somebody else wanted her and wasn't willing to go past $500,000.
Yeah, right. That's the other thing. You know when he's bidding and you like look across to the other guys so they can all see each other? You know, that's weird.
That's really weird.
I'm not going to that whore-buying auction house.
No, that's like an autofocus kind of thing, sitting there with Bob Crane.
Yeah, but Liam is just out of shot because it's just about too dark to see him pointing a gun at the fella's neck.
Yeah, now we get to the part that was what angered me the most of anything in the movie, and I didn't hate it. Now, you have seen the things this man is capable of doing. He can hide under the bodies, of his victims and shoot up a room without missing once, drove a car off a cliff using an enemy's car as a skateboard, and he doesn't check the fucking door.
No.
He walks
don't
out
look
the
other
door
way
like
when
an
he comes
idiot.
Out of that fucking room.
Yeah, and gets conked over the back of the head and knocked out. That infuriated me. I mean,
yeah, me too. Absolutely fucking right. Yes.
they have set it up that he's that careful, and he doesn't look around the fucking door. When he's
well, this is the thing
situation.
That infuriates us most, doesn't it? It's like when a film doesn't follow its own logic. You set it up, go along with it. You know, so, all right, okay, so if they're speaking French, then when he talks American, then that doesn't make sense.
No.
You know, the same as he can do all this shit, but yeah, he won't look the other way and he gets knocked over the back of the head with a fucking bit of lead piping when he comes out of the brothel room.
Yep, and for the first time ever in the movie, he gets caught off guard, he didn't check the door, and he gets knocked the fuck out.
Mm.
With the butt of a gun to the back of the head, which is an instrument designed every bit as much as to shoot someone as to knock them out with a whack in this movie.
Yes.
How many people got whacked in the head and knocked unconscious with a gun?
Lots.
I lost it's almost as many as were shot.
And what purpose does it serve to have him? I guess they said, well, we need a bit of peril. He's just been kicking ass all the way.
Yeah, I guess. So
it's the same problem you have with Bond films. Why, once you have him knocked out, don't you just shoot him there?
Yeah.
Just shoot him.
Well, they kind of make an argument for that. Like, and maybe that's the reason they had the society party upstairs on the same fucking night.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, we can't make a noise.
He said, don't make any noise, don't you?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me none of these motherfuckers on security that are carrying a gun also has a knife where they could slit a throat?
Exactly. No, they've got to choke him.
Choke
him. Yeah, anything like that.
Well, they did. They tried to choke him because remember
there's about six of them there, though, right?
Yeah.
They're looking at him.
Wakes up and he's hanging from his wrist with a bunch of guys in suits. The man didn't know who he is.
He's hanging from a pipe.
Surely there's no way out of this. But lucky for him, the pipe he was handcuffed to was suspended by a beam with a loose bolt. So strangling him from behind, that guy took the belt and was strangling him from behind. He gets the pipe to drop down and kills everyone with his hands and nearby industrial equipment.
Well, one of them gets like, you know, nogginated on the bonds with the pipe as it falls. The other geezer gets a face full of steam. Another bloke gets kicked.
Then he grabs the fire extinguisher.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've got to get gun geeky again for 1 second, but there's a reason. The next bad guy that he takes the gun from, two things I want to point out. Number one, he took a Taurus Millennium Pro off of him. That's such a cheap pistol. And they really closed in on it so you could read the slide, too, and tell what it was. I swear, I think it might have been product placement. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Okay, yeah. Now listen, I'm getting to this for a reason. They really let you read that it said Millennium Pro on it. It's one thing when James Bond has a finely crafted German Walther, but they focused in on a $200 pistol. That's almost embarrassing. That'd be like James Bond driving a Steven. I mean, it really is a cheap, shitty gun.
In Paris, that costs you 1,000 francs.
Yeah, but you know,
there's no such thing as Franks anymore.
Oh, that's right.
He took the guy's gun and bent it around toward his head and shot him in the head, inches away.
Mm.
Now, again, we talked about it, the action and fight scenes and how it wasn't going for realism at all, just fun. But, you know, at least in Pulp Fiction, it's a pretty big deal when Marvin gets shot in the head at close range.
Yeah.
Not so much in Taken. This guy's head jumps.
Yeah,
back,
I noticed that as well.
And his
actually.
Eyes closed.
Oh man! Yeah. Shot Marvin in the face.
Dude, I noticed that as well. Yeah.
This guy 6 inches away from his face, and the guy just jerks and slumps over dead.
Yeah, you'd expect him that his whole back of his head to blow out all over the three walls.
Yeah. Yeah. He just goes limp, just slumps.
Yeah. Which is weird, right? In a film where, like, because you could see him doing that. We want to get, I don't know what the ratings are over there, but over here it'd be like a 15 instead of an 18.
Right.
So over there, what is it, rated R and...
Or PG-13, yeah.
Right. So they're going for that lower thing. But if you're whacking nails into a geezer's legs and electrocuting him to death, surely you've gone past that point.
Yes, Taken is PG-13 in America.
Really?
Yep.
It seems a bit... I mean, that is, you know, there are some nasty things in it.
Seriously, though, don't you think the guy that eventually bought Liam Neeson's daughter had the worst henchman ever?
Well, this is the thing. We come on to this. I mean, you've built up from Frenchmen to Albanians, and now we're going for the big one, the Arabs.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I'm not saying that the people who made this film intended it to be this way, but, I mean, you can really see it as, you know, all foreigners are bad people. And there's a hierarchy and you know, Middle Easterners are at the top of it. Oh, because the geezer, the main man, you come down to the two fellas. One of them is a youngish fellow with a beard.
With a beard and tons of eyeliner.
They've all got, they've both got it on. Yeah.
That dude eyeliner. Had like Chris Angel levels of eyeliner.
They've got the eyeliner on. Almost as if, and the older fella did as well. When it comes right down to the last shot,
finally,
we can have the big battle. He looks like a silent movie villain. He's got so much eye makeup on; it's ridiculous.
Totally Jabba the Hutt.
He's shot in sepia tone.
They let you know that this fat guy is going to take his daughter's cherry, and it's he knows this because the music speeds up and he drives even faster, and that's when he jumps off the bridge and. Immediately breaks the guard's neck, and so then he gets a Sig 226. He finally had a good gun the rest of the movie.
Can't be bothered to reach for the iPad at this point.
But he kept hitting people on the head and knocking them out with it.
Yep. Right.
And so he kills everybody but the main bad guy who wears eyeliner and the old man. But he's having the shootout with the glam dude, and he decides instead of shooting him, to dive through a pane of glass and tackle him.
Yes.
Why throw your gun down and dive through a pane of glass to tackle someone on the other side? And this guy has knives, these weird curved knives that he fights with like Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Chris
yeah.
knives.
He gets cut up pretty good, but he kills Glamboy with his own hand knife. But now he walks in to find his daughter, and the old man has her at knife point.
One thing I've learned is if you're holding someone around the neck and someone's pointing a gun at you, put your head behind their head.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because before that guy can say, we can make a deal, he shoots him in the face.
Yeah.
And then his daughter goes, you came for me. And he tells her,
I told you I would.
I told you I would.
Everybody lives happily ever after. Yeah.
And then there's no mention of how he got off the boat or his trouble with the French authorities. It just ends with him taking his daughter to Britney Spears' house and her getting to try out her vocals. Her dad knew best all along. I mean.
Hi.
When someone says hi, it's usually polite to say hi back.
So I heard you want to be a singer.
I do.
She does.
Well, come on in. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, they like Jean-Claude was supposed to have been the one who's going, yeah, we know who's doing all these killings and shit.
But Jean-Claude was basically a speed bump throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, but he was keeping the, you know, the French authorities from sending Liam Neeson home or, you know, catching him and sending him home. Yeah. After he's done that, surely they know what passport he's traveling on or his daughter's one. Or whatever, they would get him. But nah, you know, let's all turn up at the airport back home together.
No, we all show up at the airport. We turn the daughter over to Famke Janssen and the cock fuck stepdad.
Imagine that flight home. You know, it's bad enough, isn't it, when you sit next to somebody you don't know and you make a bit of conversation too early on in the flight.
You're sitting next to your daughter saying, yeah, how you like that karaoke machine now?
Yeah.
So, all in all then, I mean,
B+.
We've slagged it off, but this is, what would you give this film? It's got to be a B+.
Yeah, B+.
And it's got to be the best film we've watched yet.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is the best film we've watched yet, but I'm going to give it a C-. because I just can't watch it again.
Because
now,
he didn't know how to do the iPad thing?
Unfortunately.
The recorder, that's why you're giving it the
bad? No. It's getting a C minus because that's what it deserves. It does not even deserve the traditional SFJ B plus.
Right. Because it's too good.
It is a C minus. And we do have a Blu-ray copy of the film. Unfortunately, Booze, this is the Region A Blu-ray copy. So
I'm ineligible anyway.
You are ineligible to receive it. But, yes, we do have a copy of Blu-ray taken. If you win the Taken Photoshop contest that we currently have going on sweetfeatheryjesus.com, take Liam Neeson, Photoshop him. If you make us laugh, you could win the Blu-ray copy of Taken, the two-disc extended cut.
Wow, but you got to make us laugh harder than Wages did.
Yes, you got to make us laugh harder than Wages.
That, when I saw that, I was like, that fucking dick.
Out of the gate and nailed it.
He did, too. He knocked out of the fucking park. That crickets thing used to make me afraid to start threads. Because
I thought it was a cockroach. I didn't even get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it at first until people started pointing out that it was a cricket. And I was just... What a lot of people may not know is that at sweetfeatheryjesus.com, if somebody started a thread that was kind of didn't get a lot of responses,
if it
eventually
was just boring
somebody would
and didn't
post,
appeal but to two people,
yes, eventually somebody would post crickets demonstrating that this was a shitty thread.
Yeah,
and nobody cares. And
I will point out it's on its fourth page now, so as Dr. P. doing his mole impression would say,
Yes, the first Photoshop that showed up for the Taken Photoshop thread was Liam Neeson pointing a gun at a cricket by the Wages of Sin. And it is hysterical. Currently, personally for me, it's in the lead.
It definitely made me laugh harder than any of them probably ever.
Like the other Photoshops that I've seen.
Oh yeah,
like Boyd and some of the other ones.
No, I have to go with Boyd all the way on this one. That is exactly what I pictured.
Boyd is always good for a fantastic Photoshop and a fantastic post, and I can't deny that. But the one that's made me laugh the hardest so far has been Wages and. We'll see what happens with the voting.
Good at being a dick. I got to handle
it. Oh, yeah. It's almost as if he doesn't even have to try.
No. And that'll do it for episode 21, actually, of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. I think I called it episode 20 at the beginning. That was a mistake on my part. Either way, we appreciate you listening. You can find us at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. Come over and check out the message boards and the forums and participate with us. You can follow us on Twitter. It's SFJ.com, SFJDOTCOM. We're also on Facebook. You can find us there by looking up SweetFeatheryJesus.com. And you can send an email to me directly. That's Belasco at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. Now, we recorded this show actually a while ago, and we weren't planning on having the Photoshop competition go on as long as it has, but we're actually going to keep it going a little longer now that I've finally gotten the time to publish this podcast. So if you've got a Photoshop you want to submit to the Liam Neeson Photoshop contest for the possibility to win a Blu-ray copy of Taken, by all means do it. We're going to attach the link here in the show notes, and you can check us out there. Come to SweetFeatheryJesus.com and show off your Photoshop skills. Thank you for joining us very much. We'll see you next time.
Go and stuff your fucking love up your ass.